It is December 5th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Jay Clayton and Timothy Massad, former heads of the SEC and CFTC respectively, have written an op-ed to the Wall Street Journal titled, How to Start Regulating the Crypto Markets Immediately. The subheadline is, former chairman of the SEC and CFTC offer three steps U.S. regulators should take to make sure crypto lives up to its promise without compromising the fairness and stability of financial markets. This is a good read and could be the basis of how to get the ball rolling on crypto regulation in the U.S. The Financial Times Person of the Year is Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. The title of the headline is FT Person of the Year, Volodymyr Zelensky. I am more responsible than brave. Leo Lewis of the Financial Times has an interesting piece that asks the question, is FOMO the new greed when it comes to investing? FOMO is, of course, the fear of missing out. Markets used to be moved by fear and greed, so this would suggest markets are moved by fear of losing and fear of not winning. Laura Shevchenko has joined the FIA Principal Traders Association as Senior Policy Advisor, Market Structure. In this new role, she will drive FIA EPTA's Market Structure Work program in both the UK and EU. The headline of the day, and there are some good ones, is Misfortune Favors the Crypto Mouthpiece from CoinDesk about Matt Damon's performance in Crypto.com's Adventurer Themes television advertisement. Here's a bit of personal finance and marriage advice from the Wall Street Journal. The story is, couples who combine finances are happier, so why don't more do it? I want to thank all of my family, friends, JLN colleagues, industry colleagues, neighbors, and others who attended the memorial service for my mother, Marjorie Jane Lothian, on Saturday in Glenview at the Glenview Community Church. It was a beautiful service with the sanctuary all ready for the Christmas holiday. The music was extraordinary, from the number of members of the Singing Stones Church High School Choir that came up front to join in the singing of Just a Closer Walk with Thee to the moving Let There Be Peace ending song of the Singing Stones. We also had a bagpiper, and my nephew Andrew Lothian performed a Warren Zevon song live. Andrew also played a recording of an original song he wrote at the end of the service from Apple iTunes, which then started playing the next thing on his playlist, which was my November 30th JLN Daily Update. Luckily, he just turned off the player before my face turned too red. I was really moved by the number of people who showed up and the diversity of aspects of my life and my mom's and family's life that they came from. It was a very special day that I shall hold in my heart forever. The UN Biodiversity Conference, COP15, is taking place at the Palais des Congrès in Montreal, December 7th to 19th. At the conference, governments from around the world will convene to agree on a plan to halt biodiversity loss and restore nature. The new set of goals will be embedded into an agreement known as the Post-2020 Global Biodiversity Framework. Among business and finance issues on the table are the conditions of Target 15, which would require all businesses globally to report on dependencies and impacts on biodiversity and progressively reduce negative impacts. As part of COP15, Business for Nature, a coalition of 1,000 1,000 businesses with revenues of $4.7 trillion is asking governments to adopt policies to reverse nature loss by 2030. You can watch live streams of all sessions with a link in today's newsletter. Follow the COP15 hashtag on social media for ongoing news. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Our MarketsWiki education short of the day is Chip Dempsey, breaking down cryptocurrencies. In this video from MarketsWiki education intern recruiting event in Chicago, Chip Dempsey, Chief Commercial Officer at OCC, discusses cryptocurrencies and what effect they'll have on markets. Dempsey says that the emergence of cryptocurrencies is the beginning of a new age of finance, and using a shared ledger has enormous cost control implications. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Bernie Madoff's lawyer has some advice for Sam Bankman-Fried. Shut up! Stop talking! Ira Sorkin advises fallen FTX wunderkind media tour could undermine future defense, lawyers say. The lawyer who represented Bernie Madoff has this advice for Sam Bankman-Fried. Shut up. Enough with this whole media apology tour, says Ira Sorkin, lead defense lawyer for Madoff, late mastermind of one of the greatest Ponzi schemes of all time. As authorities sift through the wreckage of FTX, Bankman-Fried's collapsed crypto empire, the man known as SBF, has been talking to everyone from the New York Times to the ABC talk show Good Morning America. My comment. The subconscious message from the Madoff lawyer was actually STFU! Exclamation. Okay, that might be mine. Here's a story from Fortune. Former FTX users say the failed crypto exchange was a Ponzi scheme. Here's how those work and what we know about how Sam Bankman-Fried operated. Until recently, Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF, was crypto's golden boy, known for building his cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, into a $32 billion giant in just 2 years. But the disheveled, left-leaning 30-year-old gamer was living a lie. SBF, who claimed to be a minimalist philanthropist, had used customer funds to prop up his failing crypto empire and fund his lavish lifestyle. Amid the revelations and the broader retrenchment of the crypto industry, FTX and its web of investments, which included SBF's trading business, Alameda Research, as well as over 200 other crypto companies, have dramatically unraveled. My comment, just think, if SBF had come first, they would have referred to the schemes as Bankman-Fried schemes. Here's another story from Fortune. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong says it's baffling FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried isn't in custody already. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried should be in custody by now, as far as Brian Armstrong is concerned. The Coinbase CEO said this week, "It's baffling to me why he's not in custody already. The DOJ or somebody should be able to make just based on his public statements. I think there's a very open and shut case for fraud," Armstrong said at the 16Z Crypto Founder Summit on Tuesday. He added, "I'm not an expert on this, but the people I talk to seem to agree on that." My comment, you have to do the perp walk first before you can be in custody. Here's another story, this one from Business Insider. Anna Sorokin says Sam Bankman-Fried's media apology tour is a scam. He's just trying to save himself. Convicted scammer Anna Sorokin thinks Sam Bankman-Fried's media apology tour is insincere garbage, she told Insider, believing he's trying to lay the groundwork for a legal defense over his role in FTX's meltdown and the evaporation of billions of dollars. He's just trying to save himself, she told Insider. That would be his defense if he's going to get prosecuted. I didn't know Alameda was over-leveraged, which is a crazy effing claim that it's the girlfriend's fault. You can see the seeds of that already. My comment. Advice from a professional scammer is always appreciated. Here's a story from CNBC. Why labor economists say the remote work revolution is here to stay. Remote work surged in the pandemic era, but this trend, born of necessity for public health, has now become a fixture of the U.S. job market, one that's likely to remain entrenched, according to labor experts. Almost 10% of the online job searches in September mentioned remote work, a nearly sixfold increase relative to September 2019, when the COVID-19 pandemic, according to a recent report published by Indeed and Glassdoor. My comment. The near universal access to the internet, a fast internet, and video conferencing software breakthroughs mean it works for me. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Brian DeLong on FTX collapse and the South Sea bubble. What history says about the crypto implosion. We're in the aftermath of an extraordinary bubble in cryptocurrencies, and the collapse of FTX is a defining chapter of the industry's turmoil. But what does history tell us about the cycle of bubbles and busts? Which past manias are the most similar to what we've just seen? In this episode, we speak with Brad DeLong, an economic historian at the University of California at Berkeley, who is also author of the new book, Slouching Towards Utopia, An Economic History of the 20th Century. He explains how the FTX saga shares shocking similarities with the story of the South Sea Company, a British endeavor that was at the center of a massive mania of speculation in the early 1700s. My comment, forget the Enron or Tulips comparison, we're going to the South Sea bubble. Here's a story from BBC. Oxford Word of the Year 2022 revealed as Goblin Mode. The first Oxford Word of the Year to be chosen by public vote has been announced. The winning word, Goblin Mode, is a slang term describing unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, slovenly, or greedy behavior. It was one of three potential choices selected by Oxford lexicographers. My comment, why did I think this had something to do with Spider-Man? Here's Friday's top three. Our top story Friday was, by several links, Blockchains, What Are They Good For? By Paul Krugman, his column in the New York Times. Second was CNBC's Jim Cramer eviscerates FTX Sam Bankman-Fried, total con artist from the New York Post. Third was 11 new books we recommend this week, an eclectic list from the New York Times containing a mix of fiction and nonfiction. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from the Wall Street Journal. FTX effort to save itself failed on questionable assets. Collateral seized by crypto exchange was likely worth far less than it claimed. When crypto exchange FTX was struggling to raise cash early last month, it seized billions of dollars worth of collateral from its trading arm, Alameda Research, and used it to try to convince investors of its financial health, former FTX chief executive Sam Bankman-Fried said, but much of it didn't add up. A big chunk of the assets consisted of four thinly traded crypto tokens closely connected to Mr. Bankman-Fried and FTX employees and mostly held by Alameda. The tokens were likely worth far less than the $6.4 billion marked on the balance sheet FTX was shopping to investors in hope of a bailout, according to market data and crypto researchers. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Crypto CEOs fearing worst is yet to come are cutting more jobs. Bybit, SwiftX announced headcount counts of at least 30%. StanChart sees Bitcoin at $5,000 as surprise scenario. Digital assets are already a year into one of the industry's worst slumps, but judging from recent announcements of steep headcount reductions, crypto executives seem to be bracing for more. Cryptocurrency exchanges Bybit and SwiftX over the past 2 days said they are laying off 30% and 35% of their staff respectively. The announcement came less than a week after bigger rival Kraken unveiled a similar workforce culling. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The crypto industry struggles for a way forward. The implosion of the exchange FTX shows how an industry built in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis has drifted far from its original ideals. Not long after several Wall Street banks collapsed in 2008, a 9-page document circulated on an obscure mailing list proposing a new kind of financial system that wouldn't rely on any trusted third party. The paper was the basis for what became the cryptocurrency industry. Using sweeping idealistic language, its adherents vowed to conduct business in a transparent and egalitarian way, rejecting the high-risk practices of a small number of powerful financial firms that caused the Great Recession. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.